The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 15.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from the region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as your wish." And her daughter was healed from that moment. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace to you this Sunday morning. My name is Josh Magnuson. I am a Lutheran seminary student at Wartburg Seminary. I am deeply grateful for the privilege to be with you this morning and worship with you. Last year, after 23 years in the Secret Service and nearly 5 years in the Army, I decided to leave that vocation and pursue a path of ministry. I felt the call to end my career and serve others in a different way. In my previous work, I spent my time protecting and accompanying the most powerful and wealthy people of the world. I have traveled the war zones, spending nights in bunkers. I've seen extreme poverty in the world. I've witnessed also the world of affluence in the company of billionaires, visiting their mansions, their estates, yachts, and airplanes, staying in expensive hotels in Paris and Munich. Towards the end of my time, however, I began to feel a call to serve all people, especially those who are marginalized, sick, and suffering, in a way that honored my gentle and kind parts of myself. In the gospel reading from Matthew, Jesus has entered the district of Tyre and Sidon. These were primarily Gentile, non-Jewish communities. Jesus was now the outsider. A Canaanite woman starts shouting at him and asking him to help and heal her daughter. Jesus had just taught his disciples prior in the story of Matthew that purity is a matter of heart rather than outward religious practices. In this story, a woman, a Gentile outside of the faith, has now come to him for help in her time of crisis. Jesus, though, does not initially respond to the Canaanite woman. He does not answer her at all. The woman, a mother, in a moment of helplessness and anguish, suffering for her daughter, is crying out for help, and no one is answering. This text makes me reflect on my time this summer where I served as a chaplain intern, where patients I visited called out for help in their own time of suffering. As part of my formation process to become an ordained pastor, I just completed a 10-week intensive clinical pastoral education program at Georgetown University in Washington, D.C. As chaplains in training, we were there to learn how to visit patients and their friends and family members who may be present. We practice providing pastoral support and care, especially if they might be experiencing a crisis. I had the opportunity and blessing to work alongside a diverse team of 6 other chaplain interns. In our team, we had a Muslim imam, a Jewish rabbinical student, a non-denominational Christian, a Franciscan friar, a Carmelite friar, and last but not least, another ELCA Lutheran seminarian. One of the blessings from being part of this diverse team was that I learned a lot about my teammates' faiths and how they lived in their faith. Of note, to my surprise, one day I'd gone out with my classmate and friend, the Franciscan friar, and he wore his habit every day, his robe. We were about to sit down at lunch, and I asked him where his lunch was or if he's going to order something from the cafeteria. He smiled at me And he said, "I carry everything I need with me." I looked at him waiting and wondering for some kind of miracle, and he proceeded to reach back into his long hood of his habit and produce a sandwich bag and a bag of nuts. He said, "Oh yeah, sometimes I keep oranges and a water bottle back there too." One of our team members was sight impaired and had a seeing eye dog named Eva, who helped guide her through the hospital. The Franciscan friar wore his habit every day. The Carmelite brother either wore his habit or a black shirt and collar. And the rabbinical student wore his kippah, his head covering. And the imam frequently wore his thobe, a long-sleeved, ankle-length shirt, and a sufi, his own small head covering. Eva, the service dog, which was a black lab, walked in front of us on a harness, which had a sign that read, "Working, please do not touch." It made quite a sight when our team walked through the hospital together, like some sort of spiritual justice league or Marvel superhero group. Our interfaith team roamed the hospital floors on a mission of compassion and mystery. We are the image of diversity on many levels, but also a reminder of the diversity of the world. In our call to serve all patients regardless of their beliefs and faith traditions, Muslims sometimes serving Catholic, Jewish rabbinical students sometimes serving a Baptist, and Christians sometimes serving a patient with no faith tradition, for example. There was room for all. As chaplains, we are challenged not to fix or act, but just to be curious and just to be people, just to be with the people in their moment. Listening most of the time and praying when asked. We are taught to be there with them in whatever they were feeling, pain and suffering, grieving, loss of meaning, anticipatory grief, to joy and laughter and gratitude, letting those who we serve guide us to what they needed in that moment. Many, including myself, continue to dwell on the fact we don't know why there is suffering in the world and why some people heal and other people do not in medical situations. At this point in my life and formation as a disciple, I can't really explain anything that is happening to people around me in a theological standpoint. I just fall back on the idea that God's work is a mystery, and I am only called to be faithful, trust, and serve and love others. When ministering to others, I visualize myself as an early first century pilgrim on a road to somewhere, destination unknown. The patients and their family and friends I visit the hospital, I see as other travelers I come across. I'm not sure how long we'll travel with each other, but for now I am here to accompany them, learn their stories, and serve them the best I can. When I was conducting my visits in the hospital, I felt a deep connection with the patients. Many times we sat in silence with each other. I often had the feeling that as we encountered each other, we were in a sacred space. I could not explain it other than describing it as a mystery, a feeling of connection in a shared eternal story, a deep connection to humanity. Jesus' silence in the gospel reminds me of this chaplaincy work, where we encounter others not in the church, but outside in the world, in their hospital rooms, in their hospital beds, in their time of suffering. It is a sacred moment of connection and accompaniment. After the moment of silence in the story, the Canaanite woman, the disciples urged Jesus to send her away. But Jesus then says to the woman and disciples, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Jesus seems to have presented some kind of boundary. Is it about who is entitled to the care of Jesus? Who is worthy of love and the mercy of God? Was Jesus setting up another teaching moment for the disciples, or was it something else? Jesus says to the Canaanite woman next, "It's not fair to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs," to which she responds almost immediately, "Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's tables." Jesus answers, "Great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. What if Jesus, in this moment, was actually the student in the story, and the Canaanite woman was the teacher. Regardless of the woman's religion, just as in chaplaincy, the crumbs of God's love are for everyone. A promise that God is with us, as with hospital ministry and chaplaincy, I felt the connection to the sacred when with my patients. God's grace is not just for lost sheep. It's not just for one denomination. It's a table open for all creation. As Lutherans, we believe it is not by our works that we are welcomed into God's kingdom. We have already received that gift, an unmerited award. Our only obligation is to try to live our life that shows that we acknowledge this gift. When we sit with each other, let us search for our connection with one another and the recognition of inherent value in all of us. Our connection to each other is part of a larger story of compassion and love, God's creation. As disciples and pilgrims, we accompany each other in this greater story, a story of wonder and mystery.